You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 108.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Welcome back to my podcast. That was a teaser from Winter Moon by Rhonda Lawrence. That's from the New Age Viola album, Winter Moon, which stayed in the top 50 on the New Age Reporter charts for an entire year and was nominated for several other music awards. So I hope you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the full piece at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. As always, I post the links to the sites we mentioned on my show notes at rodspulsepodcast.com. Today, the topic is lecture capture, in particular, MediaSite by Sonic Foundry. I interviewed Sean Brown, who is the Vice President of Education for Sonic Foundry. He has over 17 years of product management and education business development experience at IBM, Apple, and Oracle before coming to Sonic Foundry in 2002. He is also a past president and board member of the Hopkins Foundation for Innovation in Education. His core focus is simplifying digital media to improve use and outcomes in education. We'll be discussing MediaSite, their main product, at least for my interest and hopefully yours, including lecture capture in the classroom, and now their new product that supports personal recording at the desktop. We'll talk about faculty acceptance, student acceptance, new uses, including flipping the classroom and how that might be used with their new personal recording product, and also their new support for mobile devices, including the iPad, other iOS devices, and Android. So without further ado, here's my interview with Sean. Sean, thanks for agreeing to talk to me today and my audience. I'm anxious to hear what's new at MediaSite. For my audience, the University of the Sciences is a user of MediaSite now for a couple of years to do lecture capture. So, Sean, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Sonic Foundry, the company.
Well, thank you, and I'm very happy to be on your podcast. It's you do good work. You're like the Oprah of the higher education technology podcasts, I think. I mean that as a compliment. I have been in the business of streaming and instructional technology myself for about 20 years. I've worked for Apple Computer and for Oracle Corporation, IBM, until I finally came to Sonic Foundry just in time to help launch the MediaSite product, which I felt 10 years ago was going to be a very exciting addition to the pantheon of instructional technology products out there. And 10 years later, we're very happy with the progress and the adoption of lecture capture of all kinds, but especially ours. And we're happy to lead the field. What's new from us, a lot of product announcements. This is going to be the biggest year of engineering product releases from Sonic Foundry since we first launched MediaSite back in 2002. It is only a coincidence that it's a 10-year anniversary, but there's a lot of things that have happened in higher education, a lot of which you chronicle in your podcasts, that have made the adoption of streaming video technologies of all kinds and lecture capture become kind of one of the killer apps for streaming video.
One issue that we had here was some reluctance from faculty. I wonder what your experience has been with other educational institutions on acceptance of lecture capture by faculty.
As usual, you've put your finger right on it. When you're a technologist, you focus very much on the solution set, putting together something that's going to fill a need that people have. And we knew we'd done that years ago. But like you said, as soon as we had it all together, you know, we'd be talking our way through and the instructional technologists would be nodding their heads. Oh, that's great. Automatic assembly of real media. Oh, it's video associated with whatever's being projected. This is great. So their heads would be nodding if you can visualize. And any faculty in the room, heads would be shaking no at exactly the same time. You know, so what we're excited about, they weren't excited about. And it took me a while to really pick up on required sensitivity in the matter. Because in the end, you know, we have a lot of exposure as technologists, if they're listening to this podcast, to make sure things are up and running. You know, if Blackboard's not up that day, or if email goes down, or if a classroom projector doesn't work, or whatever, a desktop PC system, whatever, doesn't work, that's a lot of pressure on us. But when you think about the faculty, they're in front of the student, they're a performer, their face, their reputation's on the line. And when we're talking about changing that modality for the first time maybe in their whole career, to change it from who's in the room that they can see to a audience that spans distance and time and is anonymous, that can be pretty a lot of pressure on faculty. So to your very astute question, we met with a lot of faculty resistance right away when you're talking about, especially with the way MediaSite does it. Our product is famous for being the easiest one. And like a faculty member was the first to point out to me, yeah, it's the only system where I can be recorded by accident. And I said, well, that's one way to look at it. We're not going to put that on our website, but you know, you're right. You know, and that is good. Now, to your question, over the last 10 years, we have seen faculty grow to love it in much higher percentages, in that there are stages that people go to. Initially, they have fear. Initially, as they start to embrace it, or they're forced to embrace it by their dean or provost, they think in terms of high production value and, you know, how am I going to do my hair? How am I going to change how I teach? But the most successful and happy faculty, and the majority nowadays that we see, basically treat it as something where I'm in control because I control my classroom. The system's job is to record me as I teach. And introductions of new features through the years have allowed them to become much more comfortable that they can have the same level of control over their intellectual property in the internet as they can who comes in and sits down in that room. But when we didn't have those key features, it was a rough sledding in the beginning in terms of faculty adoption.
You know, exactly what you were saying, you know, reminds me of the acceptance. It's almost like the different stages of accepting death or whatever it is. You know, it's like,
the five stages of fear. Exactly.
You know, fear and, you know,
bargaining.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And then
well said.
Finally, acceptance. And we've noticed that here where some faculty who seemed to be very reluctant and skeptical and fearful, then were the first ones to call when, for some reason, the lecture didn't get recorded, which is very unusual. But we have had glitches, especially in the beginning. It happens. And I've noticed too now, faculty are realizing that, hey, I can't make it because of a snowstorm, or I have a doctor's appointment. And by the way, can you put up that lecture that I recorded last year at this time, lecture number 108? And we say, sure. So it's certainly really helped to keep the continuity of the classes going. And of course, the students love it. And if the faculty, for whatever reason, don't put up the link to the MediaSite recordings, often they'll get bombarded by the students who have been used to it.
Well, you said it, Dr. Maria. There are two things that have really turned this around. And your school is a pioneer in getting the faculty adoption and all the ideas that you should continue to share. But the two things are, one, when we first started introducing this technology, it was top down, it was dean out, it was provost out, you know, and it was all the benefits were all for some other stakeholder. You know, it was for the students or for administration or to cut costs or to, you know, save money in terms of, hey, we can register more people for this class or whatever. None of the benefit was for the faculty member, and yet they were the star. And just like you started to give such a wonderful example of how that faculty member can defy time and weather and everything else because of that. When the faculty members started to see more benefits for themselves, both altruistically, that they could teach better or reach people, or their lecture could be repeated as a text or things like that, but also personal opportunities to create a wider audience for how well they teach and all that stuff, I think that that's great. The second thing that has propelled this is what you said about student reaction. Faculty members get lauded immediately by their students over this video stuff. I mean, I've seen it. It surprised me at first, and now I'm used to it. It's like I tell faculty, you're going to be a star. They're like, do students really want this stuff? I'm like, they will want to see you. They will want to watch this lecture over and over. And they don't believe me. They're suspicious at first, you know, and then they see it for themselves. And that just, we shouldn't generalize, but in my travels around the world with faculty all over the world, I'm always inspired, because if there's something that's going to turn them around about this technology, it's when they get a great reaction from the students, and then they're in for life, and then they're pushing us, like you said, I need this feature, I need that feature, I need security so that I know that only the students, their privacy is protected. So only the people who are registered for the class are the ones that can see the video. Now we can do that. And one of the new innovations that we've added this year is so that faculty member can create content at home in that scenario you described. We're going to be announcing in the next 2 weeks a user-generated desktop version of MediaSite that will use your webcam and microphone that's built into your, you know, PC or Mac, and work with the same exact back end that all of the built-in classrooms use. And the faculty have asked for that. Web-based editing, a much easier to use editor will be rolling out that'll allow faculty to potentially easily get in, if they're allowed to by folks like you, to get in and have more control of their content. So increased control over content, increased flexibility about where and how you can create content, increased flexibility to allow students to create content and contribute to the system for assignments, to use the power of video. These things are being driven by faculty as much as they're being driven by technologists. So that's a difference in the second 10 years of this product than the first 10 years, where it was all driven by technology staff.
Well, you certainly anticipated one of my questions, because I've heard through the grapevine that you are coming out with this new product for desktop recording.
Not as good and well-kept a secret as I thought.
That's right.
You've got sources, though. You've got sources.
That's right. But so that's be anxious to get our hands on that and test it out.
December 17th, we're going to have it available for evaluation for anyone within the sound of this podcast, and obviously yourself. They can work with their Sonic Foundry rep or come to our website, call the company, and we will arrange a sandbox for you to experience MediaSite for the first time or for the millionth time, but in a new way from your own personal desktop. And the early reviews of the alpha and the beta are very strong. Just because this show is very blunt and technical and candid, I'll say the emphasis that we've made and the feedback that we're getting is great marks on elegance, simplicity. You know, we've gone for simple versus every switch. It doesn't have a lot of switches or modalities or different things you can do. It's very straightforward, but its design intent is that it won't require a lot of support, that it'll be intuitive.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I'm anxious to take a look. I wonder if you've seen this trend. Often these deployments are top-down, and that was definitely the case here. But as we've had more experience with the technology, and I'm sure you know the latest buzzwords about flipping the classroom, and there's been faculty that, and I didn't quite understand it at first, you know, were reluctant about the technology, not so much because they may have been afraid of how they would appear on video, but they didn't think pedagogically it worked with the kind of classes they were giving. So have you seen the trend towards using this in a sort of a different way, not so much lecture capture, but recording content ahead of time and flipping the classroom?
Absolutely. We have, and just like you said, you know, we build this key platform, but you never know how people are going to use it. So I'll try not to make this answer too long, but I'll say in a brief history, when we first made MediaSite, you know, the key to MediaSite, for those who have never seen it before, is end-to-end automation. We go for that simplicity. So we attacked a market where for the first time you could just build it into your classroom. It could happen in the background. You weren't sitting down with authoring tools or whatever to make it happen. So that's MediaSite. And we called it MediaSite Live because we thought it would be used for synchronous online learning. And we come back, and blended learning was the modality that is by far the most popular to use it. the student was in class, and then they're going to watch it again. That caught us by surprise. We made some adjustments. There's still people using it for online synchronous. Boom. Then a little more time comes by. You get into the late 2009, 2010, just like you said, 2011. And I keep coming to the same clients, and they're doing exactly what you said. They're like, oh, yeah, we used to meet for lecture 5 days a week. We were happy to have MediaSite record it. But now what we do is we meet 3 days a week, and I record my lectures in advance. And when they come in, we just do recitation and discussion. That my expectation is they've already watched this stuff. Or we do an advanced lecture and we don't talk about basic things. You know, we have covered the base level of the unit. And then when they come in, the lecture is starting on unit 3, unit 4, you know, the advanced aspects of it. And they think it saves time. They think it saves energy. They think that it, in the students, again, shape this, especially like in executive MBA programs or other expensive programs that have students that may be fully employed or partially employed. They really put a lot of pressure on that faculty member to use their time well. And that's where we see flipped classroom being used most often with a MediaSite setting. The other type of situations we see are the new classroom designs that are not the traditional lecture hall. And I just wait till I get in there to see how it's being designed, because sometimes it's one MediaSite, one lecture hall. Sometimes it's, oh, we have 5 MediaSites for this one classroom to record all 5 pods, and then one more for whatever. And we share it in a video matrix with, you know, other classrooms. So they're using the same number of MediaSites, but are sharing sources and flexible scheduling so that they can catch the right interactions that make sense. But the most important aspect of the flipped classroom was for us to also get out this desktop option so that the different settings in which a faculty member may find him or herself can support the creation of video of themselves plus their screen and whatever their visual aids are. That needs to happen everywhere, not just in the classroom, even though we still support and trend show the best and most cost-effective and highest production value place to do it is in a built-in classroom, that still you need to have flexibility to be able to support efforts like flip classroom and other issues. And that's what we're finding.
Yep. We've certainly changed our tune here. We've said to faculty, okay, if you're a traditional lecturer and you don't want to fiddle with any technology and you just want to walk in and give your lecture, then we will schedule lecture capture for your lectures. On the other hand, if you want to flip your classroom, you know, recently we've had to come up with other tools other than MediaSite. So, but that's, you know, that's not always easy to support, two options. We've done that for a while. So, you know, we're always interested in what the latest technology is.
Well, we hope ours will be a good offering that you'll see it as something you can use. But you nailed it. Sonic Foundry, big successful company, big success with MediaSite. We haven't knocked anything out. We've just been another addition to the quiver of arrows that are adapting video applications from teaching performances. And we expect that this new offering from us is going to help there. But in terms of flipped classroom question that you asked, very focused, the MediaSite systems that are built in a classroom that we're seeing mostly used in a flipped mode are exactly what you said at the end, which is a lecturer who wants to flip but still wants to use a classroom or a studio environment to be the way that they particularly present. And so we are seeing more MediaSites. Instead of being in a 300-seat lecture hall, we'll see the 10th through the 20th or the 40th through the 70th, you know, MediaSite recorder that's going into a school be, instead of going into their largest classrooms, which is where the first ones were, going into their smallest classrooms or a studio for exactly what you said, Dr. Murray, because they're going to book those rooms for a professor to come in and knock out a unit. A professor who chooses to say, even though I'm recording this, I don't want to build it. I don't want to use my computer. I want to just stand and deliver in the studio, maybe with a local audience of students, maybe not. But and we've seen that. We've seen faculty doing that to go on leave. You know, I'm going to be abroad and I'm going to be teaching from abroad via video conference or Skype. One gentleman does this, I believe, from Pitt. He's in Macedonia. But anyway, he records the base lectures in a classroom studio setting with MediaSite, has them all lined up and cataloged up and in the thing. And then he does sessions that are interactive and synchronous. And he's not even in the country, which I'd love because it's warm and I'm in the upper Midwest with snow. So I like that idea.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for a system that is turnkey. The faculty, you know, can concentrate on their teaching and not have to fiddle with technology. And there are some technologists out there like me that don't mind that sort of thing and want to know all the bells and whistles and, right. and want to do my own editing.
Yeah, but, you're kind of like Q. You've never met a gadget you didn't like, Dr. Wayne. I do appreciate that. I am a little bit like that. The older I get, though, the more simple I want it to be.
That's right. Speaking of gadgets, like a lot of schools, are experimenting with iPads, and we've had a pilot program going here for about a year. And I was pleased to note that over the summer we installed the latest, I guess, was version 6 that has iPad
correct.
Support. So our listeners should know that you can view a MediaSite recording on your iPad.
This is, I'm glad you mentioned that, Dr. Murray. Like when you're in my position, you know, you want to talk about the latest and greatest. But really the story of this year for the MediaSite customer has been, you know, we were slow, careful, deliberate, whatever nice words I want to use. But we, for a long time, people have had MediaSite for a long time. They've been saying, look, the fact that you use Silverlight is great, but it's limiting you. And I've got students in the BYOD era bringing iOS devices and everything. We wanted to make sure we got it right. And so the Sonic Foundry MediaSite system can absolutely go live and on demand to iOS devices of all types. And the screen formats itself properly for iPhone or iPad mini or full-size iPad. But we can also go to Android devices. We can go to BlackBerry to RIM BlackBerry OS devices. And we really tried hard to take care of it. We're ready to go. So that's what we're doing these days. And people are excited about it. And thanks for mentioning that.
Listen, this has been really fun. Well, I think we're about the end of the time allotted. So, Sean, I really want to thank you for taking your time out today and telling us about MediaSite and what's coming down the pike.
And thank you so much for inviting me and having me as a guest on your podcast. I really enjoyed it.
That's it for today's episode. I hope you learned more about lecture capture in general and MediaSite in particular. In the interest of full disclosure, USciences is a user of MediaSite and other lecture capture technologies. Don't forget to check out the links on my show notes at rodspulsepodcast.com. Now stay tuned for Winter Moon by Rhonda Lawrence. Until next time, have a great week.
that's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.